This week, though, we wrap up series. This is week 5 in our series on Elijah. You guys like this Elijah series? I've been loving it. It started 5 weeks ago when we see Elijah called by God. He stands up to the evil King Ahab and he says, "No more rain until I say so." So he initiates a drought. And the big idea of that message, if you remember, was God is still looking for people who will take a stand for him in your family, in the community, in your job. God's still looking for us to do that for him. Right after that, God actually shrinks Elijah's platform. He calls him to the Kereth Ravine, and Kereth means cut off or cut down. He says, "I'm going to do some things in you before I do some things through you. I'll still provide for you." He gave him food every day from ravens flying in, bread and meat twice a day. He made a nice little brook called the Kereth Brook and gave him fresh water in the midst of the drought. And that's what he did for over a year. And then week 2, we saw God called him from the Kereth Ravine to a place called Zarephath. And Zarephath in the Hebrew means crucible. The big idea for that week, week 2, was God sends us into the crucible to teach us the incredible. And the incredible thing that God taught us in week 2 from that part of the story of Elijah is that he will always provide. God is a provider. We can count on him. Amen? So God provided for Elijah through a widow, a poor widow who had a sick son, and her oil and her flour and her food never ran out. And when her son got sick and died while Elijah was staying with them in the home, Elijah prayed over his son 3 times, "Lord, heal this man." And we saw the first bodily resurrection from the dead in Scripture. God sends us into the crucible to teach us the incredible. We can always provide. He'll always provide for us. The trajectory of Elijah's life was going up and to the right. In week 3, we saw Caleb preach Elijah on Mount Carmel against the 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. Elijah calls down thunder from heaven, and God answers with fire, burns up all the prophets. Powerful, amazing display of God's. Caleb's big idea, if you remember from that week, was get off the fence. That's what Elijah said to the Israelites. Choose now who you will serve. Why are you doing a dance? Why are you limping around? Get off the fence and pray for revival. Cool little fun fact about that story is that day, there was a guy in our church who was sitting there, and when Caleb got to that big idea and was like, "Get off the fence," he goes, "I felt like God was saying directly to me, it's time for you to get off the fence. You've been half-stepping." And the call on him was, "You need to get baptized with your daughter, Meadow." And I'm looking at him right over here. Meadow and Mark got baptized last week. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This was last week at that worship night, our first worship night. I've been here 10 years. It was off the chain. Do not miss the next worship night. It's probably going to be the first week of May. Mark your calendars, Sunday night. You got to be there for this. Baptisms, communion, it was incredible. That was last week. But last Sunday morning, we saw week 4 of the Elijah series. He went from the high of Mount Carmel to the lowest low of his life. You remember that was? He tumbled into a depression because he was afraid for his life. Jezebel says, "I'm coming after you. I'm going to kill you." So he goes to this place called Beersheba. He's in the midst of a depression. Last week, we saw 4 things that lead into depression and 4 ways to get out of a depression. And the reason why I do this recap is partially, it's like, hey, if you haven't been here, that's where we've been in this series. But the other thing is, if you missed these have been meaty messages. So go back. These are all on demand for you, cpcdanville.org or on our YouTube channel, and you can access these any time that you want. Now, for those of you that have been following along, you might recall, do you remember where we left our man Elijah last week? So if you didn't, I'm here to tell you. We left him on Mount Sinai in a cave. In a cave. Remember, he's out of his depression now, but he goes, one of the things that helped him get out is he's going to a place where he knows he can see and experience and hear from God. So he goes, "I'm going to the mountain of God. I'm going to Mount Sinai." And he goes up and he's in the cave that he had heard that Moses was in when he experienced God come down with fire from heaven. And that's where we find Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll pick up the story. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he replied, 'I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too.' Now the Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of God, for the Lord is about to pass by. Church, can you imagine? Elijah, it's what you came for. Go outside, stand in the presence of God. The Lord Almighty is about to pass by. Can you believe if God showed up to you in your house and said, hey, come on outside of your house. Stand on the porch in the presence of God. He's about to pass by. I mean, could you? It's mind-blowing when you really think of it. Like, what would he be like? What would he look like? Do you ever think of that? What would he sound like? What would God's voice be like? My money is on, like, James Earl Jones. Sound like that. Maybe Morgan Freeman, something like, I mean, just like, maybe you have your own expectations too. Elijah had his expectations. Don't sleep. We hear about him a little bit later. What would God's voice sound like? The voice is interesting, the human voice. It has a range of frequency, the voice. On the low end, it's 85 hertz. On the high end, 2,500 hertz. The frequency of the human voice. Very rare does someone get up into 2,500 hertz, although I've heard my mother-in-law a few times get right up there in that range. I love you, Nancy, if you're watching. That's the human voice. The human ear, different range of frequency. On the low end, 20 hertz. On the high end, 20,000 hertz. So what this means is there are sounds that we can't hear with our ear, and yet they're happening. So under 20 hertz is what's called infrasonic sound. Can't hear it, but it does have effects. One of them would be we get headaches if we get too much of it. Another would be that scientists use it to know when earthquakes or volcano eruptions are coming. That's infrasonic sound. Over 20,000 hertz on the other end is called ultrasonic sound. You might have heard of ultrasound. Raise your hand if you've heard of an ultrasound. Of course we have. So we know we can't hear that, but it definitely has its effects. Here's a few. The waves can kill kidney stones. They can help us to see a baby in a mother's womb. If that's your baby, that is a life-changing moment. We can't hear it. It can torpedo buildings, ultrasonic sound waves. It can heal tissue. Maybe some of us in here have had like something called plantar fasciitis in our feet. It's very painful. Say amen if you've had it. Very painful. You run on a beach, you exercise on a beach, you too much jumping or what have you. Like pro beach volleyball players get it all the time. And the number one healer is ultrasonic sound waves, a laser. My wife's a chiropractor. She has a laser like that in her office. She got the same one that the Giants, that the Warriors, that the Niners have. It's unbelievable. So there's these healing properties of ultrasonic sound. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because here's, God speaks in many ways. Many different frequencies. You believe that? Raise your hand if you believe that. So for instance, sometimes God speaks audibly, right? Some people have heard the audible voice of God. I know some of these people, real credible people who follow the Lord. I'm bummed about this personally. I've been following Jesus since I was 12 years old. I'm 46 years old. I've never heard the audible voice of God, and I'm kind of bummed about it, actually. And it's not for lack of trying, but I know people who've heard the audible voice of God. But God speaks in different ways. It's not always out loud. He speaks to us. He speaks to his children, to his people. Maybe audible, maybe infrasonic, maybe ultrasonic, different frequencies. But we know that God wants to speak to us, and we know that he wants us to hear him. But what are these different frequencies of which I speak? Let me give you a few examples. Dreams. Anybody ever, God spoke to you in a dream? God has spoken to me in a couple of dreams. Not many, mind you, but a few. Where, like, for instance, the Reach vision for our church came to me in a dream. I went to bed. I didn't have it. I woke up. I had it all but one letter. And then we worked as a team to get that last letter, the H, help. God appears to us in dreams, speaks to us. Open doors. God speaks to us. Opportunities. Pain. Does God speak through pain? C.S. Lewis, great quote. God shouts to us in our pain. Promptings. We sense, we know that God is prompting us to do something, to say something, to go somewhere, and we can't, it's a prompting. He's speaking to us. Here's the last one, just an example for now. Another person. I bet you we can all think of a time where we're thinking about God, wrestling with God about something, and someone has no idea that that's going on in our mind and our heart, and they walk up, they start talking about, they're oblivious. But it is like the Lord is speaking right to us through that person. Anybody ever had that happen in their lives? God speaks to us through people. This leads us to our big idea for this message. This is it right here. This is a big idea. God speaks in many ways. Our job is to be active listeners. So I'm going to give you a chance right now to be an active listener. Like, we're going to do something. I'm going to give you an example of the different frequencies. Different people can hear different things at different times. But just because you don't hear it doesn't mean it's not happening. I came across a video. It's only 30 seconds. And you're going to hear different sounds. I want you to raise your hand when you hear the sound, when you hear the frequency. Because probably based on your age, you're going to hear it at a different time. Okay? So raise your hand when you hear. Ready? Oh. Now, here's what's so cool. Lots of you heard lots of those. There are a few of you, I watch you, you listen to the whole thing, you're like, uh-uh, didn't hear one of them. You're going, finally, you get, raise your hand if that was you. Finally, you're going like, I got 30 seconds of quiet in my church. Like, it's just always so loud in here right now. I just want to show you, God speaks in multiple ways, many ways. Our job is to be active listeners, different frequencies sometimes. So the question is, how does God speak to Elijah in this story, and how can we learn from it to be active listeners? Because sometimes this big God that we serve, we saw a couple weeks ago, showed up big time, big scene, big sign, big power, big miracle, big voice. Sometimes he chooses that's what we see in this part of the story with Elijah. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart. That's a tornado-like wind. Anything that can tear a mountain apart and shatter rocks before the Lord. But look at this. The Lord was not in the wind. And then, after the wind, there was an earthquake. The earth is quaking and shaking, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Big sign after big sign. And then after the earthquake came a fire. This is what Elijah's going, this is what I came for. This was the picture in my mind. Fire coming down from heaven like he did for Moses, but the Lord was not in the fire. Where is the Lord? How is he going to speak? Next verse. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mountain of the cave. And then a voice said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Again, the big idea. God speaks in many ways. Our job is to be active listeners. And with this idea in mind, let's see the three ways that God speaks in this passage. You're a note taker on your phone, in your Bible, in one of those new four journals you just bought. You might want to write these down. First way, quiet revelation. A quiet revelation. Here's the actual words that you see in your Bibles. First one, a gentle whisper. That's if you have like an NIV translation. If you have an older translation, like I was in here yesterday morning for a memorial service for someone who passed away in our church. She was 98 years old, a true saint, a 57-year member of CPC. Dorothy Chase. She had a well-worn Bible. I bet you in her translation, it didn't say a gentle whisper. It said a still small voice. These two in the Hebrew, there's a literal translation. A tiny, silent sound. Come on. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron? A silent sound? Is that possible? Well, we just learned it's possible. Something that you can't hear can topple buildings, can sense earthquakes, can see a baby in a mother's womb, can heal the human body. So how, I mean, what does this mean for us? How does this apply to our lives? A couple things just to point out. First thing, do you notice this? Elijah had to come out not once, but twice. Like he came out the first time, we see in verse 11. But then the wind, the tornado started breaking stuff off around him. And of course he goes back into the cave and then he's probably just peeking at the next two. Okay, earthquake, still not, okay, nothing. Okay, fire, okay, nothing. And then he hears the still small voice, the gentle whisper in verse 13, and he comes out again, covering his face. He's going, okay, I'm about to see it. It's going to happen. Here's why that's significant. I think there are some people here or watching at home where you're going like, I want to hear from God. I've always wanted to hear God's voice. Like we want to hear God's voice, amen? Yeah. But sometimes we go, I put myself out there once. Like I went to that or I prayed that or I thought that or I met up with that. It's like, and I didn't hear from God. I didn't hear him speak, or at least he didn't speak how I thought he was going to speak. And so we go, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to go out there again. Elijah comes out a second time. Because he wants to hear. So maybe some of you are here going, I got to come out a second time. Because notice that he went to Mount Sinai with Moses in mind. He wanted the big experience. And God kind of, do you notice this? He kind of gives it to him. He gives the physical manifestations where you'd think God would show up, the big stuff. He gives the earthquake. He gives the tornado. He gives the fire. But God's not in it. He's not speaking it. He speaks through this still, small voice, this tiny, silent sound. Some of us here, I think we like or we're used to or we had an experience with something big, man. It was like Mount Carmel. You went to a retreat. You went to a camp. You went to this a banging church service. And it was, so you start to get this expectation, like that's where God shows up. Like if there's smoke, if there's fire, if the music's blazing, fine. God has to be in that. He has to be speaking. Maybe. Perhaps. But not in this story. Here, it's quiet revelation. And would you believe that the majority of the ways that God speaks in this book right here is quiet revelation? So what do we do with that? Here's what we do. You want to hear God speak? Raise your hand. You want to hear God speak. You can hear God speak every single day directly to you right here. Right here. It's his written revelation. The invitation, the number one most reliable, consistent way to hear God's voice is quiet reflection of his revealed word. It's the number one way to grow. This last week, I mean, I couldn't believe it. It happened. This guy said something that I had to circle back with him and go, wait, I heard what you said. I saw what you wrote. Did you really mean to say what you said? Here's the story. I'm in this small group of guys, and this guy sent out a thing like 4 weeks ago and said, let's start doing a devotional. We'll read it together. It's straight off like the YouVersion Bible app. Great little Bible app. Download it for free. There's dozens, if not hundreds, of Bible reading plans, 5-7 days at a time. He said, let's, as a group, let's read these together. It takes 10 minutes. It's a devotional. It's a few scriptures. And then you actually put your response, what God is teaching you, how you're processing it, and it goes back to the group that you're doing it with. So there's a cool little accountability element to this. So we started week one, and that was great. Week two, week three, week four. So we're halfway through week four, and this guy sends this to the group. He shares his reflection. He goes, I've learned more about God and grown more in the last 4 weeks than the last 20 years of following Jesus. I went back. I go, hold on, buddy. I'm not going to say your name or anything. I want to know, did you really mean what you said? And he said, and I quote, I've grown more consistently and heard from God more clearly in the last 4 weeks than any other time in the last 20 years of being a Christian. And he goes, and the reason why is, and it's like the scales fell off of his eyes, I haven't ever read the Bible every day. Gosh, and we want to hear God's voice. Oh boy. Reason number 413 why I love my wife, Bridget. Last year we did this little remodel of our kitchen, and as she does, and you wives might be familiar with this, as you often do, there's just, as the scope creeps of the project, there's just one more thing that we wanted. It'd just be great if we could just do that too. And her one more thing was she wanted to get a fireplace insert so that it wasn't a big to-do to have a fireplace. We lose our natural wood fireplace that we use like 3 or 4 times a year, but let's get one that we can turn on, a gas fireplace. And I was like, well, it's in the wrong room. We're not going to use it. I am so glad that I listened to my wife. Like, and some of you wives are going, amen, that's right, brother. Because you're usually right. I will give you that. But that fire, like, I want to show you my spot where I meet God every morning. And this is not my meet to prepare for, to teach. No. This is for me. For me and the Lord. Here's the spot. That chair. We bought that table's like $20. Shows up online. It's got a little wobble to it. That's okay, because it holds a Bible and it holds a cup of coffee. Every single morning I turn that fire on. Boop. Every single day. And I love it. I mean, so we want to hear from God. We want to hear that still small voice. Great quote, one of the best preachers of all time, Charles Spurgeon. He says this, you cannot cause the still small voice to be heard, but often by making silence and sitting still in it, you can hear that call of tender love. Church, brothers and sisters, you need a spot. You need a quiet place to meet with God in his word, to hear him speak, and it could be another space. It might not be a chair. It could be a couch. It could be a walking trail. It could be in your car in certain seasons of your life. The place, the spot, is actually not important as long as you can get to it every day. God speaks in many ways. Our job is to be active listeners. The first way God speaks is quiet revelation. The second way is clear direction. Clear direction. How many people would just say, amen, I would love some clear direction from God? Say amen. I want clear direction. We all do. Elijah gets it. Let's go to the text. He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said to him, here's the clear direction. Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. I'll show you that on a map in just a second. And when you get there, I'm going to give you 3 things to do. Boom, boom, boom. Anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael. Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel. Remember this, we covered this last week. Elijah, you're not alone. You think you're alone. That's your truth. That's not the truth. That's not God's truth. But I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. God speaks to Elijah, yes, through quiet revelation. But he also speaks through clear direction. And this was literally direction, a place to go and things to do. Let me show it to you on the map. We've looked at this a couple of times. Where he is right now, Mount Sinai, is literally off the map down here. It's like about here. Couldn't even fit this on a map and keep it to scale. So he goes, go back the way that you came, which means go by Beersheba. You'll remember, you were depressed. I brought you out of that. And then go all the way up through here. Go by Jezreel. Remember where you went there? You ran there after Mount Carmel, ahead of Ahab's chariot. But don't stop there. Keep going all the way. Gilead, that's where you're from. Don't stop there. Tishbe, remember the Kereth Brook? Yep. Go all the way to Damascus, way up north near Sidon. And then here are some things to do. Anoint Hazael, anoint Jehu, anoint Elisha. Physical direction, spiritual purpose, a renewed assignment. Now, what does this mean for us? That's great. I know what you're thinking. You're going, that's great direction for Elijah. What about, we're all selfish listeners. We can be honest like that in front of the Lord. What does that mean for us? So God gave me two really clear points of conviction about this point in the message this week. And just to be honest, one was mostly for me. I'm going to share it with you. And the other one is mostly for you. Here's the first one. God's direction. God's speaking to us through clear direction. I wrestled with the Lord for hours this week because I wanted the Lord to give me almost like a formula. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I want to take God's word and make it applicable. And I want you to just like, oh yes, I get it. And I can. And every time the Lord was just saying, nope, 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 nope. And so finally I'm like, Lord, why? Here's what he said. This was my conviction for me. He says, that is not your job. You don't give clear direction. Here's what he reminded me of. I give the direction. Point them to me. They're my children. I love them more than you ever could. That's great. You love them, Pastor. It's nothing like I love them. And I'm their God. Point them to me. I will give them the clear direction. I started to think, he does do that. I started to read the scriptures. Look at Psalm 32 at verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you, says the Lord. Not you, Tyler, not you, Pastor. But you're going, wait, if we seek him, if we ask his voice this clear direction, will we find it? Oh, he promises that we will. Jeremiah 29, not verse 11, after that 13 and 14. You'll seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. Which leads me to my second point of conviction that's for you. Here's what I felt like the Lord saying to me about this week. Is that you, and I would put myself as a part of you, that you act like you want God's direction, but you don't really because you almost never ask him for it. And the reason why you don't ask, let me press in a little further. The reason why you don't ask is because in your heart of hearts, you don't really want his direction for your life. You want to direct your life. You want to say who. You want to say where you go. You want to say who you're going to marry. You want to say how much money you make. You want to say where it all goes. You want it for yourself. And he's going, no, I'm giving you direction. And by the way, if you ever want it, come to me and ask, and I promise you I'll give it. But let me tell you how not to come to him. James 1 at verse 5 and following. If any of you lacks wisdom, you want direction? Where should I go? What should I do? Ask God who gives generously without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. But when you ask, believe and don't doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Therein lies the key to why Elijah experiences this incredible life of blessing as God's prophet. Because for the most part, in every turn of his story, when God says, go and do, here's Elijah's testimony. Elijah went. God speaks in many ways. Our job is to be active listeners. So let me ask you, when is the last time that you sat down and said, God, I'm going to commit to a daily time studying your quiet revelation, and in the midst of that time, I'm going to ask you sincerely, can you please give me clear direction for my life, for this job, for this move, for this restoration, for this career change potentially, for this relationship, this marriage, whether I should start a family, grow a family, put a boundary with my family, a financial decision, a commitment to generosity, should I date, should I break up, what should I major in, what should I study? If you do this, I believe that you, the scriptures teach, can reasonably expect that God will speak clearly to you like he did to Elijah and give you direction for your life. And I believe that God should be able to reasonably expect that if you ask with a sincere heart, that when he speaks, you will go. You will obey. It just seems fair. How does God speak? Number one, quiet revelation. Number two, clear direction. Just ask him. Don't ask me. That's not my job. I just point. And thirdly, don't miss this. This is super cool. Close relationships. God speaks to us. One of his frequencies is close relationships. Amen? We've all probably experienced at some point in our life. Here's how Elijah experienced it here. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. What does this mean? Okay, Elisha is plowing 12 pairs yoke of oxen. So there's two oxen. There's usually a guy standing behind walking the plow. Elisha is on the 12th pair. Elijah walks up to him and throws his mantle, throws his cloak, throws his pallium is the word. And what it is, it's the prophet's cloak. He takes it off of himself. It was probably made of goat skin and hair. Anybody want one of those? Didn't think so. Throws it over Elisha, and anybody would know, oh my gosh, that is an anointing. He's saying, you're the next. And not just that, you got to keep reading. It says, Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Next slide. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? Elijah's checking in. Do you realize the significance of what I've done and what I'm calling you to do? And God is through me. So Elisha, he did understand. He left him and he went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Whoa, he's serious. He burned the plowing commitment. He burned his ox cart. He burned his security. He's going all in to cook the meat and gave it to the people and they ate. He threw a community going away party for himself. And then he went with Elijah as his assistant. And this word is super cool because in the Hebrew, it means aid, it means best friend, it means ministry partner. It's the same word that is used of Joshua in his relationship with Moses, a guy like David, and then Jonathan, or like Paul, and then Timothy, like Elijah, and then Elisha. Think about what Elijah said twice in this passage. The one thing that was pouring out of his heart is he's going, I'm lonely. I'm the only one left. And even though it wasn't true, that's how he felt. And look how God speaks. Look how God provides. Go. Anoint Elisha. He's going to be your best friend, your ministry partner. the scriptures show us that Elijah never went into another depression, never didn't have Elisha by his side. When Elijah asked Elisha, hey, what do you want when God calls me out of this ministry? Elisha said, I want a double portion of the anointing that's on you, brother. Give me some of that. We want that. We need that. We need the close relationships, even now, especially now, after the last year that we've endured, isolated, cut off, literally, physically from one another. Don't underestimate that yearning, that desire, that need. God made us with that need. He exists, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in community. We have been cut off from face-to-face community for the last year, and we need it. And it's one of the ways, it's one of the frequencies that God speaks to us. Yesterday, I'm at this, close with this. I'm at this memorial service for Dorothy Chase. She was born in 1922. Just a reminder, today we're in 2021. She recently passed away. Love the Lord. Super connected into community, old and young. I walked around here to say hello to some of the people that I had not seen, the older saints in our church. They hadn't been here in over a year. Many of them, tears in their eyes. First time back in my church. First time seeing my friends. This is so great. One of them, Wes and Gwen Stoddard, I said, can I just take a, tears in their eyes. We've missed the church. We miss our friends so much. This last year has been so hard. I said, can I take a picture with you? Took a quick picture. I think we have it. There it is. I took that picture and I go, Wes, Gwen, our whole church feels like you do, whether they know it or not. Everybody misses people. We need it. And it's one of the ways God intended to speak to us. Last scripture, Psalm 27 at verse 9. The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. Who are your three or four or five brothers and sisters who you know you can get godly advice from? We need them. We're not meant to live without them. It's one of the ways that God speaks. Would you guys stand and I can pray for you and we'll be on our way? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the chance to look at your word. We thank you that you are a God who speaks to us. Thank you, Lord, you speak to us. Sometimes we can hear it audibly. Oftentimes, most times, we can't. But we know that we know that we know that you're speaking to us. Thank you for being a God who speaks to us. You're a relational God. God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would encourage us to take steps, to apply, to trust you, to lean in to the application steps that really have our name on it in a message like this. Thank you for the example of the prophet Elijah. Thanks for the way that you speak to him. So if there's anybody here who needs to find a spot, needs to carve time away in silence and solitude on a regular, if not a daily basis, to hear you speak from your word, your living word. I pray you help us to do that. For those who need clear direction, give them the courage to go directly to you, our Heavenly Father, and say, can you give me clear direction on this? I'll do my part. I'll spend time in silence and solitude, waiting, reading your word, looking for how you're seeking to answer. Would you give me this clear direction I see you're giving Elijah? And then, God, give them the courage to obey when you speak. Finally, Lord, I pray that you would lead us back into human, person-to-person, face-to-face relationships and community, not via Zoom, not all online, not in isolation, when we're comfortable, when we're ready, indoors, outdoors, whatever it is, let us not be fooled by the enemy and even people in our society that think we can live without that. We need each other. And it's one of the ways that you speak to us. So speak to us through each other, we pray. We lift all these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen.